Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 43 of Slam Fire Radio for February 6, 2014. I'm Trevor Furlot.
I'm Matthew McClatchy.
And I'm the Owenator.
The Owenator. Nice.
I like it.
And joining us this week alongside the Owenator, I'm going to say that a lot now, I'm sorry.
It rolls off the tongue better than Fluellingator.
Fluelling ate who?
Yeah, exactly.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Joining the goofball hosts of Slamfire Radio this evening is the host of the newly named
podcast, I think is the word you're looking for.
Podcast. What are they called? Podcast. All right. Joining us this week is host of the Polite Society podcast and, I guess, creator of said podcast, Paul Lathrop. Mr. Lathrop, sir, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for asking me to be on. It's an honor. I've heard just about everybody else that's on my show on your show.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
You know, not that I'm jealous or anything. But.
I don't think Styx has been on.
Yeah, well, you know, the day is young. I mean.
No, but you know, I'm saying you got here before Styx.
Well, yeah, that's
and
true, I guess.
Obi was on. And Rob wasn't on, so let's back up the train.
Yeah, but Brian was on.
Brian who?
Brian, what the heck was this? Holcomb, thank you. Holcomb. Jeez. Yeah,
Brian
it's been a while.
Here? Brian wasn't on here.
Brian was on Slamfire. I'm almost positive, yeah. It was after Canadian Reload Radio. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
that must have been the night that I drank myself into oblivion and almost didn't make it to work the next day.
No, it wasn't last week. No.
No, it wore the week before. Or the one before that.
As he finishes his last glass of wine. So let's start with our guests and what we did this week in guns. Paul, why don't you bring us up to speed on, because we know you do a lot. You do even more than Owen, really.
Oh, no, I seriously doubt that. What I've done this week is armed and disarmed myself a lot as I travel through different states. Done some dry fire in the truck and recorded a few shows.
Awesome. So, I mean, Chaz has talked about this over at the Road Gunner podcast. You got to keep track of what's legal in every different state that you know you're going to drive through. So, how many different states do you go through in a month?
In a month, I would say, well, I mean, accumulatively, probably 20, 25. But I get through some states a lot more often.
Right. Yeah. So for those listeners that haven't figured it out yet, by day, Paul Lathrop is a professional truck driver, and by night, a podcaster. So that's why he has to arm and disarm, because every time he goes into a different state, depending on whether his carry permit has reciprocity for that state or not, he may have to lock up the gun like a poor Canuck. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes the gun can be unlocked and near you but not on your person, and other times it actually has to be physically locked, doesn't it?
It has to be physically locked in a compartment that I cannot access from the driver's seat of the vehicle.
Wow.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Well, it's the way the law currently works. When I first started the show, I was in high hopes that we would have national right to carry reciprocity. Didn't pan out, but I haven't given up on it yet.
Let me just tell you a little something about how bad things are here in Canada. I don't think there's anywhere in the country where if I had a hunting license for what was in season, I couldn't have the a firearm uncased, strapped, or just laying across the passenger seat.
Okay. That's kind of cool.
That's kind of cool, yeah. Yeah, I have driven to Matthews several times with a .223 bolt action rifle just draped across the front seat, unloaded with a mag in the console. Should I happen to see a crow or a coyote along the side of the highway, I could literally pull over, get out, and just shoot.
I can open carry in Utah.
I've done that. Awesome. All right, cool. Anything else, Paul?
No, just doing the normal podcasting stuff. I actually, as far as firearms, because I drive truck and I'm on the road so much, lead a pretty boring life.
Yeah, you probably listen to a lot of podcasts.
Tons. I listen to over 50 on a weekly basis.
Wow. I'm still trying to get caught up on shows that Doc did about Vegas. Like his Vegas show, that's how far back I got to go on that one. I don't listen to that many, but I suppose
I've got 70 hours every week that I can listen to podcasts.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. Awesome. Well, once again, thanks for joining us.
You bet.
What about you, Owen Nader? You do anything?
Nope.
All right, then. So, now what's going on with the linear muzzle brake? Nothing yet?
Nothing yet.
Did you see that email or post that somebody sent us on email or Facebook about an alternative, maybe?
An alternative?
Yeah, like kind of another linear muzzle brake, but from a different company. Somebody's trying to help you out there. You know what our listeners are like.
Yeah, no, it was one person suggested I contact the manufacturer directly.
Okay.
Posted a link, but I didn't see an alternative.
Maybe that's what it was, Owen. I talk out of my a lot, and I say things without knowing what I'm talking about. So.
I won't contradict you. nothing yet, and I'm not in a huge rush. I mean, whenever it comes available, I'll get it.
Yeah, right on. It's not like you don't have another AR and another AR upper and.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, awesome. Oh well.
What I do want now, though, I've decided I'm going to pick myself up an M14 or a Norinco clone.
That'd be cool. What for?
At some point, and modify it all out to be my semi-automatic tactical hunting gun.
Troy
tactical hunting gun. I love it.
Have you checked out the Troy stock for those? The Troy chassis?
No, but have you seen the? I really like the look of the M14.ca ones.
The black feather? No, I don't. They are cool, and especially they're going to be lightweight compared to the one I'm talking about. The one I'm talking about is kind of like my TAC 21 ish. Kind of. There's a lot of meat there. It's probably not light, but it really. It puts everything in a straight line like an AR. Mm-hmm. So it puts the recoil right directly back into your shoulder. It's
modular. Well, that's what theirs does too.
Yeah, and I think the one you're looking at is lighter. It is Canadian made. It is less expensive.
They're not cheap. that's probably more likely what I would go with is one of those just because of the lightener. If you're going to hunt with it,
The Troy Industry one is kind of being... They'd like to say that it's being looked at by the U.S. Armed Forces as a means of making an M14 as a practical combat rifle again. So they're saying, you know, they're trying to tout it as something that's not terribly heavy. But the M14, check out the Troy Industry chassis anyway, just for fun, appease me. It is
that M14.ca. They make all kinds of accessories for the M14. They make different muzzle brakes and scope rails. That mount on top and all kinds of cool stuff. I'm just not sure if I want to get one of the short ones or one of the long ones.
I would totally get the short one.
Short one.
Yeah, Dominion Arms has one out too, which is still basically a Norinco. Yeah. Not sure what the connection there. Some of them are called the Norinco Polytech and some of them are called the Dominion Arms. The Dominion Arms I'm seeing in Canada this week are all shorties.
Yep. I haven't seen any in stock. I literally looking around today and I can't find either in stock.
You know... We can't get AR-10s, and the only reason we would get AR-10s is if we would be allowed to hunt with them. So this is really, well, the XCRM is really expensive and really heavy. Yep. This is, you know, a good alternative to having to pull the trigger on an XCRM.
Yep.
And
I mean, the other alternative is a bolt gun, obviously, in 308, which is cool, but I don't know. For some reason, I mean, I was never big into semi-automatics until I got my ARs. And now I'm like, that's why not?
I still toy with the idea, but there's just too many other things on the list right now.
Yeah, I don't know what, I'm not sure what the accuracy, I haven't really done any reading on the M14, so I have no idea what the accuracy is like out of them.
So does that mean you want to buy my bucket of prepped 308 brass?
Maybe. I have 308 brass, a little bit. But.
Well, I got a bucket.
Actually, I know someone that has an ammo can full of 308 that I might be able to get from them.
This has all been resized, trimmed, and deburred and cleaned in the stainless steel tumbler.
Okay.
Cool. So,
yeah, that we'll might talk. Be.
Oh. Awesome. Cool. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. So, as you guys know, I missed last week's show because I was at the SummerSlam registration party at the Mass Director's place. As of right now, there are only 36 spots left out of a possible 126 for the weekend dates. There's oodles of room. We're not even half full yet for the pre-match, the dates of the 17th, 18th, but for the 19th, 20th, there are only 36 spots left. So while I was there, I got to check out a STI open gun that I had only seen online up to this point. There was one open is starting to catch on in our club. Now there's three of us, and one of the shooters has two. He's got the CZ Checkmate. Nice gun. Horrible trigger for an open gun. It's not acceptable. It's creepy and gritty, and wasn't impressed with it. The ergonomics of the CZ are nice. They've got a very similar grip to a Glock, so I like that. The one that I got to handle, though, was the STI Matchmaster, which is kind of like a step above the True Bore that I have. It's shorter, actually, overall. I don't think it's a full 5-inch gun like my True Bore is. And the slide is milled, not milled, but it's not really ported. Ports belong in a barrel, but the slide has holes drilled into it at the top up front to lighten it. That's supposed to increase the cycling speed. Factory trigger for the gun probably retails in the $3,800 to $4,000 range, and the trigger was also the craps. I mean, just bad. Even for regular 1911 standards, I was really disappointed with the trigger in it. Maybe
so it felt kind of like a Glock trigger.
I don't even know if I would. I don't know. I felt some pretty good Glock triggers in my day. But
that
other than
a
that,
joke.
Though,
it's okay.
I understand. Okay. The gun was amazing though. Overall, besides that, they improved even the Seymour sight mount that's on there. The STI Seymour mount is even improved over mine. They have a built-in blast shield on it. Mine did not. I had to purchase one separately that mounted directly to the Seymour. And there was something else on the Seymour mount that was a little better. But no thumb rest or gas pedal on it like mine. But anyway, nice gun. The Magpul furniture for my Mossberg 590A1 has arrived. A note to anyone that's considering putting the Magpul furniture on the 590A1, the fore end, the pump, is very slick. I'm going to actually have to put grip tape on it.
Ooh.
The pump comes with two bushings that fit inside the pump. They're like a little bracket, and they're meant to – there's two different ones depending on which Mossberg you're going to put this fore end on. For the 500 and 590, there's one bushing, and for the 590A1, there's a different bushing. Reason being, the 590A1 barrel is thicker than the 500 and the regular 590. They take all the play out of the forend of the action. There's no more side to side play. However, when you pump the action, the tolerance is too tight, and it really rubs on the barrel and makes cycling the gun a chore, and really slows down the cycling rate of the gun. So I got in there and I opened it up a little bit, and unfortunately I
did. You open it up just a little bit, or?
Well, I got a little overzealous and I opened it up a little bit too much. What I did was I made the cycling back and forth of the action great, but I reintroduced some of the play into the action. So it's a trade-off. You're going to get some play.
Or, well, you want some play anyway.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's right.
Think of an AK, right? Yeah. The looser the tolerance is, the better it is, I guess.
Yeah, the gun ran fine in its stock configuration, right?
Uh-huh.
So anyway, that being said, I went to the 500-590 bushing, and I opened it up in a much more delicate, slow, controlled process.
You just used the bench grinder then instead of the jackhammer.
Well, jackhammer. Well, first it was hacksaw, then it was jackhammer.
Right.
This time I just went bench grinder, hacksaw.
Perfect. I mean, that's the perfect combination when working on guns.
For sure. And so it's cool now. I have a rail in the mail. Hey.
Hey.
Yeah. So thanks again to my buddy Jeff Reese over at the Calgary Shooting Center. He got a rail in for me that will fit on top of the receiver and the original. I don't think it's a Mossberg rail made by Mossberg, but it's made for Mossberg.
So you're putting a red dot on your shotgun?
That's right. The spark that I got from you is going to go on top of that shotgun. So, I mean, my pistol's open. My rifle's open. My
shotgun might as well be open.
Yeah. And, I mean, we tested all the steel during the multi-gun match, you and I, with Owen's KSG and with his spark. And loved
cool.
it.
Cool. Yeah.
Loved
great.
It. Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, and then S&J Hardware has the No Jam Follower. That'll be next. And it has the big jumbo safety. So I think
I had one of those on one of my old shotguns.
And?
It jammed.
I put the
factory one back in.
Ironically, I ordered one for my 870 and it jammed. And I put it in the Norinco 780 Homeland Security that we paid $89 for. And it was great.
Yeah.
It worked great in the Norinco.
Just, yeah, it might be fine then.
Wouldn't work in the, it wouldn't work in the 870 though. So hopefully the 590
but
one is better.
Does your current follower jam?
No, but it's colored, right? They're fluorescent green or fluorescent orange. So, right.
So this helps you tell when you're empty,
index.
Just in case the click doesn't do it for you.
Well, also, no, but see, when you flip it over, it's like a big neon sign saying, feed me here, right?
I know. It's funnier my way.
Yeah, it's truer.
Why do you flip your shotgun over to reload it? That's not really the proper way to do it.
Yeah, well, you're actually, Owen, that's a good point. I don't anymore. I just keep the gun in the same orientation and feed it in from the bottom. I thumb them in now.
But it is still good if you are handling the shotgun.
Yeah,
it's still good so that when you pick up a shotgun, you kind of can roll it over just to do a visual check.
Yeah, yeah, that will stick out. Yeah,
if it works, great. If not, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's only $20 or whatever. So who cares?
Right.
At the SummerSlam, you know, registration party, Salsh is an ammo dealer, right? I don't know, North Shore Ammo Supply or something. I forget what it is.
He's an arms dealer, I believe.
He's something like
arms,
that, whatever.
Arms bullets dealer, like that.
Whatever the name of his ghost company is called. Anyhow, I brought home 1,000 more 147-grain projectiles for $9 and another 1,040, so I loaded those since the last show. And...
Well, I did do a little bit of loading last night, actually. I didn't do any loading.
You had your turn.
A friend of mine did some loading. I just sat there and watched him and drank scotch.
Awesome.
That's the way to reload right there.
Yeah.
I love how you just, like, dumped all over Trevor. He's, like, all excited about his 686 back. He's pulling the trigger. He's about to announce. You just jump in. Oh, yeah, I know. I did do something.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Well, it's not like it's never happened. You know, he has never done it to me before.
Never.
So.
No.
I don't think it's that.
It's funnier this way.
I think if you go back and listen to the first 42 episodes, you'll see that you have me confused with Matthew.
Nobody's going to do that. Come on now.
You are.
Go back and listen to them.
Not with a lot of Xanax, they're not going to do it.
Nah.
All right, I got my 686 back. Matthew, what did you do? Thanks, Owen. Thanks a lot.
So how are you liking your 686?
Oh, my God, I love it. I'll never let it go again.
Did you scratch it yet?
Shut up. Not my fault. Who knew you couldn't use a jeweler's screwdriver to uncake the lead around the forcing cone?
You're not supposed to use a jeweler's screwdriver to uncake lead around the forcing cone. And I don't think that's actually lead, is it? Isn't it just unburned powder?
No.
It's actual lead?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, I suppose, yeah, because it's squeezing that bullet down, isn't it, into the barrel.
Yeah. So I used a soft brass brush. For the most part, I got the forcing cone clean, but around the forcing cone, there was some buildup of lead there. And yeah, I got a little impatient and got in there with the jeweler's screwdriver. I mean, scratch.
I've got my definition
of a scratch is like you guys couldn't see it with an electron microscope, but I know it's there.
Right. Yeah. I've got a chunk of carbon fiber here that is super, super hard, and it'll break anything off without scratching anything that's metal. I should bring a chunk of it over for you. You could use something like that.
Awesome. And right away, the boys jumped on. Doc Wesson and 10X were on my Facebook saying, you know, you can buy these lead cloths. They're not cloths fabricated in lead, mind you, like the X-ray department. But they're cloth by Birch Casey and a couple other companies. Brownell sells some. And they're, yeah.
Yeah,
they're,
they dissolve the lead or whatever.
Yeah. So
yeah, they turn it into gold, I believe.
Well, they're only
just
a molecule of part.
Well, it's an atom, actually, I think, isn't it?
I don't know. What am I, Doc Wesson?
I don't know either. I'm just making this up.
Yeah. The cylinder, I actually literally put, I took one of your dessert bowls, sweetie, and I poured coffee number 9 in it. And then I soaked my cylinder in it. And now it's in the dishwasher. So, you know, the little one. Anyway, that did a fantastic job. Yep.
You're funny.
I got that from the back of the can of Dillon Case Lube. It literally says this: steal a cookie sheet from your wife, spread the brass out, and spray it down. So, okay.
Nice.
McClatchy, what's going on?
My Glock 17 arrived.
Giddy up.
Yep, I'm liking it. It's
Was it everything you hoped and were told it would be?
No, it wasn't.
In fact.
Anyhow, we'll get to that in a minute. I've been playing with it and my Ruger SR9 kind of side by side, getting a feel and doing compare and contrast and stuff. I have to tell you, the stippling on the Glock is a lot more aggressive than the stippling on the SR9.
And that's Gen 3.
This is a Gen 3.
The Gen 4 is way off the hook then.
I'm going to be developing calluses, or I'm going to develop calluses for sure.
No.
Time.
Calluses,
right. Sorry, calluses. It did come with 2 mag
it's
releases.
About time. Owen made a joke at your expense, but you missed it.
What was it? Oh yeah, no, I heard him. I just chose to ignore him. What do you mean it's about time? Just because I wear work gloves when I'm playing with wood doesn't mean that I'm a softie. Yes, it does. I hate splinters. Leave me alone.
Oh, well, if you had calluses, you'd get a lot fewer.
I know, but look, I work in a school. Come on,
I do stuff. So do I. So do I.
Yep. Anyhow, back to my Glock, because that's a lot more manly than my hands, apparently. It came with 2 mag releases, the standard one and an extended one. And the standard one is, of course, too short, and the extended one is, of course, too long.
You find,
so
yeah.
What?
You find?
Yes. This is why it's too long. When you put a magazine in the gun, and you lay the gun down on a table, if you're not careful, the magazine pops out.
Well, lay it down. Don't throw it down. If the magazine is popping out just by laying the gun on the table, then your mag spring needs to be taken out and twisted or bent.
Nope. It doesn't. It doesn't if I lay it down gently. But there's always that chance that it could pop out. I don't want that to happen in an IPSC match. I don't want the gun to be laying there and I slap the gun to pick it up. And when it goes down, it, of course, ejects the mag. Then I pick up the gun and got no mag.
It's not right, man, because there's a lot of travel before it disengages the mag.
I did it. I practiced it. I played with it. It popped out when I picked it up.
I'm concerned about your mag release spring.
It's not, though. I checked it. It's tight. It's tighter than
what
my SR9.
I've had 4 Glocks. What have you had to compare it to?
My other Glock that I used to have. Another Gen 3 Glock. What's yours again? Gen 4?
Well,
not
I've
the
had,
same?
I've only had 1 Gen 4, and I've had 4 Gen 3s.
Yeah.
The 22, the 35, and the 21. So 3.
Something is obviously not right, because if he's never had the problem, and I don't have that problem, now mind you, they are Gen 4s, but still, he's had Gen 3s, and he's not having that problem, so there's something definitely wrong.
My mag release was too long. That's what
was
wrong.
No, Matthew, I had the big honking Zev extended mag release on my Glock 35, and I could lay that thing down any which way, whatever, and that gun was a lot heavier than your 17. Brass mag well, brass plug, stainless or tungsten guide rod wouldn't eject the mag. Just
I think it's because your mag well flared out, and that may have given it the extra clearance it needed to not actually press the mag release on the table.
My G22 had the extended mag release, and so did the Glock 21 SF.
Did you ever actually try it, though? Put it on the table and then press down on the gun?
Well, every time we did a table start in IPSC.
Right, but did you actually try it, though?
Like stand on the gun?
No, just press down on the gun while it's on the table sideways.
I'm going to say yes, but I'm lying.
Okay. Thank you. I tried it, and this is, I have to tell you, I do know my guns. This gun has seen less than probably 100 rounds. It doesn't even have scoring on the barrel yet where the slide goes back and forth. This is a very, very new gun, and the mag release spring is not worn, and I did have that issue. When I put it down with the extended mag release and then I pressed down on the gun, the mag would pop out. So I fixed it. I just filed down the mag release a little bit. Now it's perfect.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with fitting it to make it more ergonomic for you and make sure you're not hitting it with your support hand, but could still.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Whenever my support hand went on, it was digging into the side of my my palm, so that now it doesn't do that either.
Paul, you're sitting there with a Gen 3 Glock. You want to put that on the dash and see if your mag pops out when you touch it?
Does it have an extended mag release, though?
It has a stock mag release.
Yeah, there you go. You won't have that problem.
No, I don't.
Perfect.
I had the extended one on my Glock 22. Hmm.
You don't have your Glock 22 anymore, do you?
That's Newfoundland.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyhow.
Still your fault.
What did I do?
I don't know.
Right. It did come with an extended slide lock or slide catch. I don't know whatever the correct term there is, which is really nice because it falls to the hand or to the thumb very nicely. I like it. It's good. It's just going to, you know, I just need to get some range time down with it and get my hands roughed up so they actually don't hurt after I'm done playing.
All right. Now, do you think you're going to find that you're going to be riding that slide release, slide lock release?
No. No, it's still way out of the way. With a similar grip on my SR9 that I run there, it's same thing. With my thumbs on my other hand, like you should be shooting anyway, it's out of the way. I'm not going to be hitting it.
Just so
I'm always hitting mine.
Oh, are you?
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
And you don't even have the extended one.
No.
Matthew, something to keep in mind, if ever you get an opportunity to carry that gun, you're going to want to change that because drawing from concealment, they don't recognize. You know, if you look at the factory one, it's really low profile and tucked in tight to the frame and the slide for a reason. That one can snag on things while drawing, the extended one, I mean.
Oh, yes. No, I can see that.
Yeah, keep that in mind.
Hmm. Well, fortunately, we don't have that problem here in Canada, do we?
Yeah. Yeah, but I kept my 17 stock, you know. Just.
Yeah. Well, this is how it came, and I do believe it is a factory part, is it not?
Yeah. As long as you got the Glock factory extended one on there, just like the Glock factory extended mag release, there's nothing that's totally IPSC legal.
Yeah.
It's OEM parts.
Yeah. So, anyhow. Unfortunately, the sights that came with it are also factory. So
the big ass white dot.
Yeah, big notch and the funny U thing in the back. But fortunately, I do have some aftermarket sights at Owen's. Hopefully, Owen has tossed them in the mail for me.
Not yet.
Soon.
Maybe.
Because then I got to go over to Trevor's and use his Glock sight tool to install them.
Same one I lent to Owen?
What's that, Trevor?
I said the same one I lent to Owen.
Oh, wait. Yeah, the one that Owen never got.
Right. Your fault. You left without it.
That's okay. You can blame me.
I just did.
Yeah, I know.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, so anyway, it's cool. I really like it. The only, you guys remember me saying on the show that it came with three 17-round magazines, right?
Three Glock 17-round magazines.
Pretty sure I said that. Anyway, it came with two KCI 18-round magazines. And one single stack 10-round Glock magazine, so did not come with the advertised number of proper magazines. But other than that, the mags do seem to work okay. What's that, Owen?
I was just going to say, have you noticed any issues with them? But
well, the one didn't come fully assembled. Well, it came fully assembled, just not with all the parts. The internal floor plate wasn't in it, still isn't in it because it didn't come with it, but fortunately it does still work without it. And every now and then it does hang up in the gun, or it did. It hasn't ever since I've played with it vigorously. I think I've worn it in or broken it in. Shut up, Trevor. So it does drop free now, which is good, but I am still rather disappointed that they're not factory Glock mag. So anyhow, I do need at least two more magazines, so if anybody knows where I can get Glock 17 magazines, preferably full capacity that are pinned to 10 as opposed to the single stack 10 rounders, let me know, because I definitely need at least two, if not three. So
I can get your real 17 round magazines.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? I would love to have those. But unfortunately, we've got to have the rivet installed.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to put the rivet in for me and then send them over, that's legal. I think.
Yep. Sure. I am the furthest thing away from somebody you want working on a gun or magazine.
You just take the pop rivet. What you do is you take a drill bit slightly, about the same size as your pop rivet, and you drill into the number 14.
No. It's directly across through the middle.
Yeah. No, but you go in through the number 14, Paul, and that makes it good. Matthew, I have Glock factory floor plates and stuff here.
Oh, cool. Maybe we can swap some of that stuff out and make these things work properly.
That's the first thing I did when I had one of those KCI mags. I replaced everything except for the spring with Glock parts.
Where did you get your floor plates and stuff?
Well, when you switch to the extended aluminum base pads that I used in my 40 caliber or my Glock 35 for my 40. Yeah.
That makes sense, because I was like looking online for like Glock magazine
Glock
parts.
Store. Glock Store? If you want factory Glock magazines, go to Sport Q. There you can get two shipped to your door for $89. And if you consider the first Glock mag I ever paid, by the time I got it here, thank you, the gun dealer, I paid $79 for it. Sport Q will sell you any caliber Glock mag. I always bought them two at a time, so whatever it was, but I got two at a time shipped to my door for $89.
Where's that? Sports Q?
Sport Q.
And that is where?
Quebec.
And are these full capacity pinned or just 10 rounders?
Sorry, they're 10 rounders.
I'll get those if I have to. I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
I haven't seen any Canadian retailer sell the...
I think the ones
that are in the wild come with guns.
I heard that the gun dealer McAdam had full capacity pinned to 10.
Probably Korean.
They could have been the Korean ones.
And I bought one mag from him once and paid $79 for it. So can you imagine? It was a 10 rounder. Yeah. Imagine what you'd pay for a factory Glock 17 pinned.
Oh, I heard they were $49.
Hmm.
Which isn't actually a horrible price, but it's not great either.
Don't give up on those KCIs until you've tried them.
That's right. Well, that's the thing. I'm going to try these two. And the thing is, though, I've also looked online for KCI mags just to see if they're even available, and I can't find any in stock anywhere anyway. So.
Oh, okay. You look on GP Tactical?
Nope.
I think that's where I got them when I got mine.
So GP Tactical and Sport Q. I'm writing these down so I don't forget.
And as far as if you want parts for your mags, like followers, springs, base pads, the little thing that goes inside between the spring and the base pad, Glock Store.
And is that, they ship to Canada?
Yep. Cool. And Zev used to ship to Canada for well over $100 at a time, even back when it was a $100 limit.
Yeah, but Zev is not American, are they? Oh, yeah, there. Never mind. Yep. I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm thinking of Zoll.
Yeah. No, Zev and Glock Store are great.
Yeah, cool. Other than that, I haven't even actually fired the gun yet. I haven't been to the range, so I don't even know how it shoots. But trigger is nice on it. I like the trigger. I'll let Trevor evaluate it, and we'll mess with that. But I think I do like the trigger the way it's set up now. But we'll see. And other than that, I've got my Ruger 22-45 for sale. So anybody looking for a 22 caliber Ruger?
Why is that?
It's superfluous.
Yeah, I know you got the Beretta, and you like the Beretta, but.
I haven't touched the 22-45 since I got the Beretta. I pulled it out once, and I'm like,
"Sell it."
Yeah, it does. I got too many guns. I know people are like, "What? How could you?" No, I like my gun collection simple, lean. What I need, and that's it. I don't like to have extra stuff laying around. So if I don't use it, it goes. And I haven't used that thing, ever since I got the Beretta, basically. And like I said, I pulled it out of the safe the other day, and I'm like, "Wow, this thing's heavy." And then the Beretta was, like, so light and so comfortable. I'm like, yep, no, keeping the Beretta. Selling the Ruger.
Yeah. Why don't you call Thomas Donnelly? I'm sure you could always use another one to put a red dot and a comp on.
Sure.
I'm not bitter, though.
I'm fine with that. Anyhow.
Awesome. All right, cool. Well, I think that takes us through that part, eh?
It certainly does.
Yeah, see that, Paul? I said, hey, that was for you.
Oh, appreciate it. Dude.
Upcoming events. We have t-shirt orders. What's going on there, Matthew?
They're
ready for money?
I am in communication with the t-shirt order guy, and he is currently working on it.
Awesome.
So it is in the works.
I cannot wait to hear what the listeners think of the new design.
Yep, it's cool.
Mm-hmm. That's all we're going to say about that.
Good. All right, Charity, Forrest Gump, move on.
Charity shoot. Steve Lee is going to be
confirmed, of course, because I was talking to him on Skype, and he's definitely coming.
Did he say how many people he was bringing with him?
Possibly just himself.
Oh, well, that will make sleeping arrangements much easier. He can have the tub.
In fact, because it is going to be probably just himself, he's invited me on a wolf hunt with him in British Columbia.
Nice.
Yeah, I hate you.
I thought you might.
Slamfire Radio is now looking for a new host since Matthew's an accident. Anyhow.
As long as the accident's after the trip to British Columbia hunting wolves, I'll be fine.
Yeah, we're going to tie a chicken drumstick around your leg and or around your neck and tie your leg to a stake out in the woods. You'll be
like
the bait.
Beef steak or steak?
That's right. Yeah, Philly steak and cheese. Mm. The charity shoot will take place on June 28th, any day now. We're having some scheduling difficulties, Mario. Any day now, we will have host of Radio Velocité Quebec to come on and discuss the charity which we've come together and chosen for this year's event. And it hits close to home for Mario, so that's why Mario's going to come on to help with the announcement. It is very important to all of us. It's a very meaningful charity, and we hope that you'll agree with us and get behind it 110%. The event itself will be comprised of a trap shoot, small bore silhouette shoot, some general fun rifle shooting, as well as an IPTC-style mini-match. And Mr. Woods, as I said, my Remington 700 will be on hand for you to play with. Somebody asked if it was still for sale. I said no, but at the charity shoot, you can basically...
You can shoot it if you want. In fact, yeah, you can pay me money to shoot it.
Shake it like it owes you money. I don't care. Have fun with it. What else we got? Practical Armed Response Academy. The date is confirmed.
Finally.
Tommy's got the time off. It's going to be August 2nd and 3rd. He's coming. He's going to be on the show very soon. We've got a 10 o'clock appointment with him on Saturday morning to do a brief recording to talk about what he's going to do for you at this Practical Armed Response Academy course.
I hope it's Cook Me Burgers.
No, that'll be Muffin and Camille.
Oh, shake okay. Bake, baby. That'll work too.
Put them on the grill. Shake and Bake's having a baby.
Oh,
show.
Really?
Early show. Yeah, I got a diaper party tomorrow or Saturday night to go to. Can you imagine? He bred. He procreated. Oh, my God. Anyway. Remember, folks, Tommy is a Mag 40 certified instructor. So you're getting top-notch instruction here on the defensive use of a handgun. So the course is full, but get on the waiting list anyway because it's still a long ways away and people back out. Life happens, and you don't want to miss out. Day two will be a mini-match. We are going to make it a mini-match, not a level two. It's a mini-match because those of you that are taking the course want to be able to compete in the mini-match, and if we have an actual level two, you won't be able to because level two requires a black badge. So the mini-match will be open to us. We'll probably try and it'd be cool if we could put everybody in one squad, but that'd be an awful big squad. So probably two squads. It'll be me, Matthew, the cool guys, and Owen with the girls.
I won't be there, actually. So,
oh, all right, then. It'll be me and Matthew and the cool guys, and Tommy can have the girls. Wait, what? It's going to – and SummerSlam – those of you that aren't IPSC shooters but you hear about SummerSlam all the time, you'll get to shoot some of the coolest SummerSlam stages. So the other upcoming event we have is going to be the multi-gun. This is becoming an annual podcasting pilgrimage like the charity shoot. It'll be August 16th and 17th. There are going to be 12 stages this time, 6 stages per day. We're just going to keep growing this thing bigger and bigger every year.
Until pretty much it's a year-round event.
Well, I just want – I kind of want it to become like the – SummerSlam of three gun or the three multi gun of you know, I want this thing to be as sought after by shooters as SummerSlam. I want to start pulling people in from, you know, Alberta to this thing. And I think the only way to do that is to make it a 2-day. So
cool.
News. Some cop had his gun stolen and it was used in a crime and I didn't put it in, so that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I actually read the article. It was a police officer had his personal firearm stolen. It was a Smith & Wesson 22 revolver, and then somebody used it in a crime. So I don't know what the importance of the story was, except that, you know, cops get their guns stolen too. I don't know.
Well, I heard that it wasn't stored properly. But
yeah, that was the whole attraction to the story.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't stored properly. Here's a cop who wasn't following the same rules that he is forced to enforce by his masters.
Right.
So, you know, it's good for us. We have to do all the safe storage, but they don't. And, oh, look what happened.
Right.
Jerk. Anyway. So, main topic. Ready for the main topic?
I guess so. Who do we have on this week?
Some Lathrop guy.
Oh, yeah, right. Forgot who's still
that jerk.
Post of politics and guns. Oh, no.
Paul, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Doing good. Thought we went through this already.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
By the way, guys, I want to real quick, Matthew and Owen, I owe you guys an apology.
Uh-oh.
oh?
I was scheduled to be on last week, and Trevor, apparently, when he dumped on you, he dumped me too.
Right, and, yes, we remember this.
And so, but you did a great job anyway. I just, you know, I listened, and kudos on that for pulling a show out of somewhere dark.
It was
you did
dark.
A good job.
Yeah, it was dark.
So,
thanks for listening, everyone. Our first email comes to us.
No, it was okay. I mean, Owen and I were happy to, you know, give you guys a break and make sure that you could be here when Trevor was here, because we all know, you know, it's all about Trevor, so it's okay.
Finally, acknowledgement. It was my idea. This has happened twice. Paul, this happened with Talking Lead. It was my idea to get Talking Lead on the show. I'm the big Talking Lead fan of the three. They listen and whatever, but I mean, I communicate with the boys and have them, you know, and I wanted to get them on the show because I'm so proud of them and what they did and how quickly they grew their show and stuff. And I couldn't be here, and that sucked. And the boys did a fantastic job, but I felt like I missed out. So I was like, all right,
you did miss out. It was it was awesome.
It was.
I can't even begin to express how much you missed.
Oh, stop.
And how wonderful it was.
And that's why I'm here with Paul today, because, again, it was my idea to get Paul on. I'm a huge Polite Society podcast fan, and I didn't want to have Paul on and not be here. So that's why you got bumped, Paul.
That's cool. I had to give you a hard time about it, man.
I get it all day long on Facebook. I get it on your show, and now I'm getting it from you on our show.
As you expected different?
Yeah.
On my the other show that I'm on, I refer to you as Sir and Mister, and now you're on giving me a hard time. Like, there's a fresh cut after the show. I'm going to talk with the therapist on Monday. No, but seriously, Paul, thank you so much for coming to the show. I wanted you on here so I could give you a hard time about changing the name of your show.
Okay.
No, not
fire
really.
Fire away.
No, let's talk about...
Okay.
I do want to talk about the rationale for changing the name of the show, the direction you want to go, why you felt you needed to change.
Whoa. One question at a time here.
Yeah, I'm just throwing all the things out there. We'll start with one thing at a time. Okay, let's go back, Paul, to the inception of the show. The show was originally called Politics and Guns. And at that time, what was your vision for the show, given the name?
What my vision of the show was when I 2 years ago, and it was just actually barely over 2 years ago, 2 years, 3 days, when I pressed record for the first time, my goal was I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to let people know what was really going on in the news and what was really happening to their rights and get them involved. And that the name Politics and Guns, well, that's two things that I was really interested in and what the show was really about, more about the politics as it dealt with guns.
Yeah, as it pertains to guns. And let's face it, it's such a hotbed topic that it's almost impossible to talk about guns without talking about the politics surrounding their ownership.
Yep.
And so... even though the American politics means almost nothing to us, we were still attracted to the show because good content, great hosts, good dynamics, good chemistry between the hosts. So myself and several other Canadians, we started listening to the show. Toby reached out to Canada essentially and asked if we could adopt him. We said no. But as a result, we started to listen to him cry about how much he loved Canada every week on your show. And we started to talk about your show on the Canadian podcast. And you now have lots and lots of Canadian listeners. And they don't listen because American gun politics affect their lives. They listen because it's a good show. And some people are interested in political content and the talk surrounding that.
And see, I think the politics actually crosses the borders. It really, I really think it does, because the things you can do here politically, I'm fairly certain you can do up there politically. And the things that are going to make the most difference are when you talk to your neighbors, and not necessarily the ones that go with you to the shooting range.
No, exactly, because you already have them on your camp.
Yeah,
in your camp. Yeah.
And that's part of the reason for the name change. The only people I were getting listening to my show was the hardcore people that are already involved in politics and already are on my side on the guns. And that's great. But when I was trying to get interviews and when I was trying to grow the show, I kept hitting a barrier. And that was when I noticed especially when I was trying to get interviews. And that's when I called somebody and said, I want to interview you on the politics and guns. They go, whoa, 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 politics. What kind of politics? And you know, I had to go through a whole spiel about how we are a pro-Second Amendment podcast that believes in the individual responsibility for carrying. We believe in this and that and the other. And I had to go through a whole spiel to sell them that I really was on their side before they would come on my show to talk.
So you think that they were almost thinking that you were anti?
Yeah, I think for some people that were. And another thing is, honestly, the general public, when you say politics, about 2/3 of them go, "Well, what else is there?" You know, next, I don't want to listen to that. I'm so fed up with politics that I just can't handle it anymore. And so yeah, what I'm trying to do is two things. Number one, I want interesting guests, and I don't want to have to go through the whole "yes, we really are on your side" thing. Or
I thought
if
you were saying I didn't want to have all the slam fire hosts on again because that was
cool. No. Actually, that you guys are among the highest downloaded shows we've had. So
that's cool. Five downloads.
No, six. No, wait, I downloaded that one too.
Right.
No. But anyway, I want to appeal to a broader audience. I want to get the soccer mom to occasionally tune in. Polite society. You know, everybody in the gun industry knows what that means. Everybody knows that goes back to an armed society is a polite society.
Everybody who's heard of the book, are the antis going to get it?
Well, that's the whole point. I think just the gun owners get it, and the antis go, "Oh, Polite Society podcast. That sounds interesting. Let's listen to that." And then they turn it on and go, "Oh, yeah, that's not what I was expecting." But then maybe you convert them.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of ironic that you started out as the Politics and Guns podcast and, always was told growing up, you know, there's a few things, three things you don't talk about in polite company, and one of them is politics.
Yeah.
Well, I try and stay away from religion. I am a deeply religious person myself, but you very, very, very rarely, I shouldn't say religion, I'm a spiritual person, but you'll very rarely hear about religion on my podcast. Every year about Christmas time you do. Politics, you obviously hear quite a bit. And what was the third one you're not supposed to talk about? We won't mention that one here either.
I thought it was money, Paul. I thought it was money.
Money. I thought it was sex.
Oh.
Oh, no. We talk all kinds of stuff about that. Oh, no. Okay.
You on another show we don't know about, McClatchy? Paul, after the name change, well, actually, before the name change, you started to do a segment on the show, DGUs. And mm-hmm. something, let me just, real quick, you're always asking for feedback. Every time you make a change, you're saying to the listeners, I want you to email me, and I want you to tell me if you like this. 1 week, you stop, you drop the climb aboard, strap in, hang on, and then we're like, if you can't live without that, I want you to tell me, and we'll bring it back. The intro to the show, I believe it was Raquel, who used to say it's a listener-driven show. You push that all the time, and good on you, because I think it's important, because let's face it, as much as we love to hear the sound of our own voices, if nobody downloads, what's the point? And yep. if people are not downloading because they don't like it, what's the point? And you're constantly asking to find out if they do like it so you can keep it going in a direction that they want. So DGUs took off.
And big time.
After the show, a defensive gun use.
Very cool. See, I didn't figure everybody in the world knew what DGU was.
Yeah, thank you. No, you're right, Matthew, and I meant to throw it in there, and I just kept going.
No worries. That's what I'm here for.
Excellent.
That's it, though. I'm not doing anything else.
Oh, I get one filter per episode, huh? So, Paul, then, after the name change, you reiterated a couple of times, nothing else will change.
Right.
So I thought to myself when he said that, all right, he's changing the name, but the content's not going to change. So somebody hears the title of the show. I'm just thinking out loud here. Somebody hears the title of the show, Polite Society Podcast. Oh, all right. I tune in. Oh, wait a second. It's all about politics. I've been duped. And they stop listening. Did you kind of think about that a little bit? Because it seems lately that I'm not hearing as much politics. Is it coincidence that I'm not hearing as much politics? Or are you consciously backing off of the politics?
It's coincidence. We are the right now, the local and state political season is just kicking off. Normally, the state legislatures start convening in late January, early February, right about now. The bills that we need to worry about will start coming in a couple weeks, and you're going to hear a lot of it coming up. Right now, I mean, it's honestly, politically, it's kind of light on the news cycle. It will be coming, though. Missouri has been working on a nullification law. What nullification is for, and you guys are, I kind of think of you guys as a mirror of us. We've got a good amount of Canadian listeners and a ton of Americans. I think you guys probably have a ton of Canadians and a good amount of Americans. So for Canadian listeners, what nullification is basically the state says, you know, it's nice that you passed that law. Now go pound sand. It doesn't apply here. And the way Missouri's is written, the anti-gunners are freaking out because it basically nullifies or makes no good laws going all the way back to the National Firearms Act. So... yeah, it's probably not going to make it through in its current form. It may make it through in a way that just bans future gun laws, but it's one to watch, and I'm actually planning on talking a little bit about it on our upcoming show this weekend.
Cool.
So, no, to answer your question, politics is not gone. Politics is still there. And we're just the news segment. Basically, we try and pick the five or six most pertinent stories, and the politics hasn't been at the top of the list yet since we did the name change.
Awesome. That's all right then.
So it really is not going to change. Just the name.
Just the name. And of course, when I say nothing else is going to change, I don't mean that nothing else is ever going to change.
Well, that's it. Our shows are living documents. I mean, we change them as we see fit, as demand dictates. So,
and if I could, one more thing, you guys mentioned, and we are a listener driven show. We do ask for feedback. The DGUs, there are two things that we got unanimous on feedback. One thing was when I asked, do you like the DGUs? Should we continue them? I never heard one person say, no, we get enough. Every person that contacted me said, we love it. Keep it coming. We don't get enough of it as it is. The other one was climb aboard, strap in, and hang on. and everybody said bring it back, so it's back.
Oh, neat. I didn't write in, but I kind of it to me it's too familiar not to have.
Yeah,
and everybody that's knows what they, it.
Yeah, it's honestly it was in episode one, and it made it through to one in the 190s or low 200s before I did the test of do we want to keep this, and we tried one without it, and everybody that got in touch with me said no. We're used to it, and it takes 10 seconds, and it differentiates you from everybody else.
Yeah. We differentiate ourselves by never doing anything right twice.
That sounds about right.
We no, then I must have said it wrong then.
I said about right.
Oh, close enough. Yeah. Close enough for government work.
Close enough for Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, you work awesome. For the government? Okay, I got to go, guys.
Hey, the government pays Matthew to reload when the snow falls.
Yep. That was cool. I really enjoyed that day.
So I'm sitting home going, oh, we don't brag about that stuff, Matthew. What are you doing? Yeah. Well, I was reloading.
Yes, of course. You just didn't say it out loud.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's awesome, Paul. Anything else you'd like to tell us about the show? Anything you got? Okay. How about this, Paul? Let me cut you off.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Cut you off, and then ask you another one.
Yeah. What? How goes the hunt for a female co-host?
I hear Brian Bolivar's available.
Wow.
Brian.
They threw that right to my feet. I couldn't do anything with it, Brian. I had to. I'm sorry.
Brian, when he comes to visit me later, I'll cut him for you.
All I can say on that is stay tuned. You're going to hear something about that very, very, very soon.
Dude, give us a spoiler. Come on.
I know who it is. It's Sarah Palin, isn't it?
Oh, you got me.
Did you get Kathy to commit?
No.
Stop asking him, or else he's going to have to not answer, and then we'll all know who it is, and he doesn't want to blow it. So
I want him to blow it. Spoilers.
I'll tell you in the 92nd minute of your show.
In the 92nd minute of our show?
What's your
that's right, because we only record 89 minutes. So. Very good. So it'll be an off-air...
clever.
Outtakes. Just kidding.
Well, why don't you tell us then?
There is something coming up that I would say if you don't hear about it on this coming weekend show, then it'll definitely be on the midweek show next week.
Awesome. Well, let me be the first to congratulate you.
You don't even know who it is yet.
Doesn't matter.
Could be Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, you know what? I'd pay money for that too, just so I could go toe to toe with her twice a week.
Wait, what?
You don't know who that is. That's okay. Aren't you cute? Let's move on to another question for him.
How about Paul? You tell our listeners where they can find your show on the interwebs, on Facebook, how to email, etc.
Well, the easiest way to find it is to go to politesocietypodcast.com. That will, by the way, redirect you. If you watch your browser window, it'll automatically go back to politicsandguns.com. If you have Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/politicsandgunspodcast. They won't let me change the web address. We're on Google Plus, which is now how we're recording our shows.
Now we get to look at you too. Thanks for that.
You can watch us twice a week if you choose on either Google Plus or on YouTube. Just search for both of them for Polite Society Podcast. And to get in touch with me, real easy, and I'm not going to change the email address because too many people already have it, and it would be too much of a pain in the neck to change. It's still going to stay paul@politicsandguns.com. So
very cool.
We're a twice a week show. We come out once we record Wednesday night, and we have a weekend show that we were recording Sunday mornings, but we're moving that back to for our new person that may or may not be joining us this weekend, and could or could not be female.
Neither confirm nor deny.
Exactly. We'll be recording on Saturday nights now. So Wednesday or Saturday, if you got some time, Come check us out on YouTube, and you can watch a live show at 7:30 Central Time.
Awesome. So who's the cast going to – well, yeah, I almost tricked you. Oh, I thought I did. Who's going to be on the show now? We've got you, and who else is on the show? Tell the listeners who gives you a hand every week.
Well, there was an Ewok that bolted on us, you know, it's, we've got Styx on the air. Styx is a mountain of a man with a the guy is like 8'13".
Yeah, I was just gonna say physically though, right? Not kind of like intellectually.
Oh, he's not an idiot.
I'm kidding.
Not an idiot. It's not like he wears a helmet and drools on himself, but you know, come on.
He leans forward far enough that he drools on Edith instead. Anyway, Styx is our outdoors guy, our survival guy, and he's for those of you that haven't heard our show, he's a huge Appleseed advocate.
I like him already.
Yeah, he does. He does a lot of. He's an instructor in training there, and one of the most patriotic guys I've ever met. My other co-host with me right now is Rob Morse. Rob is a blogger that is out of the San Diego, California area, and he and I met a couple years ago down at Gun Rights Policy Conference and struck up a friendship. And when a slot became available to add somebody, I jumped right at him because he's by far the smartest guy I know when it comes to gun rights.
And I've said this to you personally in some of our own private communications, but I'll say it publicly on the show.
Are you sure it's time for that? Like,
I think he was an absolute fantastic addition to the cast. He fits Polite Society Podcast like a glove.
Yes, he does.
He does a fantastic job.
And he has brought a lot to the show.
Yeah.
We have become a lot. There's a lot fewer squirrels that have invaded since he's come aboard.
Yeah, you're way too scripted. Like, formal? I mean, the Queen is not as formal as you guys are. Like, sometimes you just got to let your hair down, man.
Yeah. Well, and we're working on that. We've gotten feedback, not just from you, but we've gotten feedback from others. We're working on that. But in order to get the challenge is we've got a lot of stuff. We try to keep between 90 minutes and 2 hours. In that, we usually have 45 minutes of interviews. We have 12 and a half minutes of ads. And
yeah, remind me.
And
no, the ads are a lot better.
Yeah, and the you know, when we've got some, I had a guy professionally do some of our ads for us, and wow, so much better than me. But anyway, we've got a lot. We got news. Our catch-up segment, like you guys do, only we're not the kind of gun geeks you guys are. We don't obsess. No, sorry, did I say that externally? But we catch up with what's going on with each of us personally in our lives, and we've got all the DGUs, we've got our everything we do, we've got to stuff into this little program, and so we've got to be a little bit scripted, and the news definitely comes off that way. We're trying to work on that a little bit, but if we're going to get everything in we need to get in, we got to have some structure.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're absolutely right. I just embarked on an adventure with two ADD squirrels. One guy is Rain Man. There's nothing he doesn't know. And the other guy does 15 things simultaneously while trying to record. So, yeah, I hear it's like herding cats over there at Action Shooting Radio.
Yeah.
So,
and if I could,
when you're trying to do as much as you are, you are forced to implement some kind of structure for sure.
Yeah, and I want to compliment you. I've gotten a lot of compliments coming my way. I don't want to turn this into a love fest by any means, but God. I have listened to the first two shows of Action Shooting Radio, and it's you're doing a great job. I could easily see myself. Once you finally get that thing on Stitcher, adding that to my regular rotation right up at the top of the list. So
appreciate that. It's a work in progress, but we're having fun. Cool. Well, awesome. So, if we're ready, then gentlemen, should we progress into our listener feedback?
Well, it's regarding Paul, so we might as well.
You want to grab that one, Matthew?
Do I?
I don't know. Do you?
I guess. It's fine. From Filthy. He says, "Hey, Slamfire crew, I have a question for your esteemed guest, Paul."
No. Kylan couldn't make it this week. Dr. Langman is not here.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was my fault.
Yeah. I'm just going to change your name to Paul and just ask the question anyway. So
okay.
It'll be okay.
I'm sure it'll all work out.
You're too kind, Trevor. Paul, do a large amount of truck drivers CCW? You and the foul-mouth trucker, known as Chaz, are the only ones that I know of, so it makes me curious how common it is. Follow-up question, are you and other drivers open about the fact that you carry, or is it a fact best kept to oneself? And he signs off, the Empire rocks, Filthy.
Well, the tricky part there is most trucking companies, the vast majority of the trucking companies, have a company policy that does not allow you to carry a firearm in the truck, including the one I drive for. And so that's why you've never heard me mention the company I drive for on the air, and you never will. I don't know the exact percentage, but I do know if I had to venture a guess, I would say in the neighborhood of 10 to 25% of us do. I know it's a common topic of conversation at lunch counters.
Where are you hiding your gun? Yo, I'm hiding my gun here. Where do you hide your gun?
That y'all actually need to get yourselves a concealment solution, Black Mamba. You're doing it wrong.
I just sit and I listen because, quite honestly, the reputation that truck drivers have of not exactly being Mensa members is generally well earned. Any trucker you meet is going to probably try to tell you that he knows everything about everything. And
well, that's what Chaz does every week.
Yeah, well, Chaz actually does kind of know what he's talking about. Not
yeah,
like
but it's
most
funnier
of these.
My way.
Chaz is a good friend. I've actually met him in person several times, and had the pleasure.
Yeah, I opened carried with him.
Yeah, very cool.
Did
that
you, Trevor?
Utah,
did you open
right?
carry?
It's true.
Was that in Utah?
That wasn't Utah with Chaz. He was there.
No.
He interviewed me while I had a gun on my hip in public.
That's cool.
And then we drank a polygamy porter together. Don't ask.
Wow. I don't even want to know the details of that.
Sorry, Paul. This was your story.
That's fine. So do most of the drivers carry? No, because we're not open about it because the company policies generally are you are not allowed to carry in the truck. There are a good number of us that figure that I was looking for a job when I found this one, and I'm not going to let this job cost me my life.
Well, that's it, right? I mean, that's the worst that can happen is they can fire you for not following their policies, but you're not breaking any federal or state laws.
Right. As long as you follow, there is no federal prohibition. And that's a common misconception. A lot of drivers say, you can't carry in a truck. There's a federal law against it. No, actually, there's not. And there's a green book that every driver is issued. I have like three or four of them in my truck because you're issued a new one when the federal regulations change. It seems like every couple weeks, but it's actually just once a year. But I got three or four of them in the truck. I've read entirely through the whole thing. And there are no mentions of guns anywhere in there. So it's not against federal regulations to carry in the truck. You will hear that from a lot of companies because they just don't want you to. And I hear and believe it probably is true that a lot of that's due to insurance. But once again, I was looking for a job when I found this one, and my life is worth more than not being protected when I can be.
Do you think that with the move of pro concealed carry in the States, do you think that there will be more truck companies becoming more open to this idea and changing these policies? Just, you know, we see a lot of companies who have recently changed their stance on firearms, you know, on campus, for example, or on premises, or even some of them are just, you know, you're only allowed to keep it in your car in the parking lot, but at least you're allowed to keep it on company property now. Do you see maybe some truck companies going, okay, wait, hold on a second here. This isn't exactly a low-risk profession. Maybe we should allow our truckers to defend themselves.
Yeah, and why should I infringe the constitutional rights or the Second Amendment rights of my employees?
Yeah, it's gonna come from the bottom up. It's gonna start with the small 2-3 truck operators. I don't see any big companies doing that in the near future. I would say that if they did, they would attract a whole bunch of very professional people. But because you can't exactly be, I mean, in most states, you have to go through a good amount of training. You have to obviously pass a background check to get a CCW. You're going to get the better, more professional people if you do. But I don't see the big companies, the Swifts, the Werners, the Schneiders. I don't see them changing their tune anytime soon. The other issue you get is there are a lot of shippers and receivers that have no gun signs, and that would be require.
I mean, it's not hard though, just to leave your gun locked in the truck though whenever you're unloading.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, there is a way around that, of course.
Yeah.
So Paul, you work in a gun-free zone.
Technically, yeah.
Technically, I do. Yeah.
That's too bad.
So, for the listeners who don't peruse your show as often as they should, why don't you let us know what it is that you like to carry with you?
I carry a Glock 22. That's a 40 caliber, full-size Glock. I have in the truck with me, I carry in the truck with me two mags, and I carry it in a Black Mamba CE from Concealment Solutions.
Awesome. Is cool. It the Gen 3, a Gen 4, or a RTF2?
It's a Gen 3.
Gen 3? Gen 3. Is it RTF2 or just a regular Gen 3?
RTF confused them.
The RTF2, Paul, has very different stippling and has different serrations, caulking serrations on the rear of the slide.
There are serrations on the...
But they're just straight. They're not curved, are they?
Yeah, straight
no,
or V-shaped? Okay.
One moment. They're straight.
Yeah. Okay.
They are straight.
Cool. So I asked simply because my Glock 22 was the RTF2, and the RTF stands for rough textured frame. The whole frame is kind of has a micro stippling to it. It's very neat.
Okay.
What about your ammo, Paul?
I carry Speer Gold Dot.
Nice.
Yeah. I cannot tell you the grain. I don't know.
I'm going to go out there and say it's 180 because okay. I have some. But
all right. And for my practice arrow ammo, I fire Federal.
Cool.
Because we do run some loads for them.
Well, then you definitely, just a tip, you know, you want to know if your practice ammo and your self-defense ammo weigh the same. You don't want to have 150 grain or 200 grain. You want to make sure they're both at least 180 grain, so the point of impact, point of aim is as close as possible.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. And I will check that when I get home.
Cool. Owen.
Yeah.
You got a special email just for you with a special offer. You want to take this one?
It's from Jason Philp, who says, Owen, I have a Benelli Nova shotgun you can have for $400.
He can't really have it, then can he? Is this the same shotgun you wouldn't sell to me when you want it for free?
You want it for free, I'll give you $100 for it.
I'm just curious. Maybe it's not the same Benelli Nova he won for free. Maybe no it's idea. A different one. So, Owen, you going to buy it?
Probably not.
All right, then.
If I could go buy one of those Stevens 3, whatever they are, 320s for $260, so.
Yeah, well, you'd still have a Stevens.
That's a good point. You would.
Yep.
What do you mean?
I mean, they're crap.
They're not crap.
Oh, no, they're not.
They're not exactly high quality. They're not Remington or Mossberg, but they're not crap.
All right.
At least not the ones that I've handled.
Yeah, your Mossberg is a Stevens, isn't it?
No.
No, it's a Mossberg.
It's a Mossberg.
That's why it says Mossberg.
Yeah. But I have handled Stevens. I've fired
the Stevens, and
I have two.
They're rugged. They're you know. Nope. I think that for what you pay for, they're good quality. It's kind of like the Marlin 795. It's not the best 22 out there. That hurt me a little bit to say that, but the money that you pay for it, you get so much gun that it's just worth it.
Yeah. There's value in the Stevens shotgun for the price, but it's not like buying a Savage Axis value. That's ridiculous value.
Yeah. See that's getting up there. That's like, you know, a Scottish person would even buy a Savage Axis kind of thing. There's so much value there.
He wouldn't change the scope.
No.
But yeah.
What a gun.
I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong necessarily with the Benelli Novas. I've never handled one, but they look, I mean, they've got the, at least the hunting, nice. The field barrels have a raised rib and all that. So I'm sure they'd be fine.
Yeah, they are. I thought it was great. Yeah. Not $400 great. I mean, he's trying to rip you off, but.
Yeah. You know. Well, I mean, the tactical ones with the magazine extensions and all that probably would be. I would assume what he has is the field model.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's, you could buy a 30-year-old Remington 870 for $350, so why wouldn't you get that instead of a brand new Nova for $4?
Right. What?
I'm being facetious.
Oh.
Do we have more from Mr. Phil?
We do. We got an audio here from him.
All right. Is he driving in his truck? Because if he's not, don't play it.
Well, let's find out here.
All right.
Thanks, guys. After trying for over a year and a half to get my wife to listen to the podcast, she finally tunes in and gets told that, yeah, 8 bullets ain't enough to get rid of the guys that are messing around with her. Could be a while before she listens again. Thanks for the podcast. From Alberta, Jason Phil.
Well, you know what Filthy said?
No.
One down, one to go. You'll get no sympathy here, Mr. Phil.
I don't even remember this conversation. So
that was when Jason sent in the joke about the guy who walks into a bar with a 1911.
Oh, yeah, right.
Which one of you has been messing with my wife? And a Glock owner in the back says, "You're going to need more capacity than that 1911 can carry," or something like that.
No, you nailed it. You didn't butcher that at all. That's exactly word for word how that joke went.
But what I said was, Jason Philp walks into a bar with a 1911 and says, "Which one of you has been messing with my wife?" And Jeff Reese in the back says something, "You're going to need a Glock," or whatever.
Right.
And now he's trying to make pretend that his wife heard it and she's insulted.
Right. Which, of course, I don't know. I don't know his wife. Although apparently everybody knows mine. There's probably a joke there too, but.
High capacity mag, what?
What?
Nobody's safe.
Very good. All right. Well, we've got 10 minutes left, guys. So,
let's just have 10 minutes of awkward silence.
Ready and go.
No, we're not doing that. That's crazy.
Talk about my.
Couldn't even give
more.
It 5 seconds to think. So the listeners could think that we were actually going to do it.
I'll edit in 5 seconds for you. I'm lying. I'm not going to do that. I looked for an iTunes review, and the one from last week actually got updated, and I don't remember what it said now because I didn't write it down, but it was mildly funny. Really? Trevor, have you seen the U.S. one? I don't know how to find the U.S. iTunes.
Go to the bottom where it shows a picture of a Canadian flag, click on it, and all the flags come up, and then you
flip. Well, I'm not going to do that now, but, you know, maybe for next week.
Oh, no, do it live. Do it live
right
now.
No, I'm not going
to
do
anything. No, because we have 10 minutes with nothing to fill, but let's not fill it with something.
No, we're not going to fill it with something. We've got to fill it with nothing.
Let's not fill it with something that the listeners did for us.
What did the listeners do for us?
They left us a review.
Oh, we'll go look it up. I'm going to talk to Paul for a while. Paul.
Yes.
How you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on, guys.
No. So what did you do this week with guns? No, I'm just kidding.
This is how podcasts die. Okay. 9 more minutes.
9 more minutes. Yeah, we're counting them down here now.
So, Paul, since we got some time to make up, there was a lot of different questions I wanted to ask you during the main topic portion of the show. We touched upon briefly that you've got to, you know, disarm and lock up and rearm, depending on what state you're going through. touch on that. Tell us what, you know, what's that like? Like, how do you know, how do you keep track of where you're legal, where you're not, et cetera?
Well, the website I use for that is gunlaws.us, handgunlaws, I'm sorry, .us.
Who maintains that?
Yeah, that's Gary Slider, and he does an amazing job with that site. With by the time he has contacts in every state, and when a gun law changes, he changes it on his site shortly after it's signed into law. And so if you need to keep up, he's got all 50 states, if you need to keep up on the law, that's where you go. There are a lot of sites that do it, but I find that one's the most accurate.
Can you sign up for like automatic email updates where if there's a change, you get an email telling you there's a change?
I don't know that you can.
Convenient. Then you wouldn't have to go back constantly. You would just be redirected if there was a change.
Would be cool.
Is Gary a lawyer?
No, he's not. He's an enthusiast. He started it, and I don't want to speak for him directly. He started it several years ago, and he, at one time, he had concealed carry permits. The guy put in a ton of time and money doing this. He had concealed carry permits for over 30 states in his name. So he could say, I've actually done this. I've been through this in this state. This is what you have to do.
Well, yeah, that definitely gives credibility. If you're going to put out a website and tell people the law and what you can and can't do, if you've never done any of it, it's kind of like, That's why I asked if he was a lawyer. I'm wondering where his specialty lies. If he's maintaining a website to educate people on the laws within your country.
Right. And if you go onto his site, he will link directly into the laws in all the 50 states, and you can read the laws right off the state's individual codified law pages. But that's what I use. And also, the reason I don't know that an email update would be real good for me, because I don't know the laws in every single state. Let's say I'm going to be starting in my home state of South Dakota, and I'm going to travel through to Texas. I will go through, and I can build a map, show where my permit is good and not good in. And at the beginning of the day, I'll just check, can I open carry in this state? The states I'm going to be driving through, I'll check and see if I can open carry. If it has to be concealed, if printing counts as concealment, or if printing means you're open carrying, I will check to see if I can carry in places that are posted, no, don't carry here.
Sorry, Paul, go finish, and I got a question.
I'll check and see if I can, if the no gun signs hold the force of law, and just in each state that I'm be traveling, that I know I'm traveling into that day, so I know what I have to do before I cross state lines.
That's a lot to keep track of. It's nice to have that quick reference. You said there are some places where you need to verify whether or not printing counts as open carrying.
Uh-huh.
Such a thing exists where if you're Texas. Printing, you could be charged as open carrying?
Texas. It used to be. It changed. Texas is one that comes to mind. Yeah. In Texas, if it's not concealed, means concealed. And if you're printing, you could be charged with what was the law? It wasn't. It escapes me off the top of my head, but you could be charged with criminal mischief or something like that if you are printing when you're carrying in Texas. You used to be able to. Now it's called incidental. Boy, I should have looked this one up beforehand. But basically, if you print now, or if your gun gets flashed in an accidental way, it's not a huge deal in Texas. But it was, it concealed up until last year. Concealed meant keep it concealed.
That's interesting, because I thought you could open carry in Texas.
No, open carry rifles, yes. Handguns, no.
Interesting. Okay. A question then on concealed carry. Do you know which state was the first one to allow concealed carry in the U.S. and what year that occurred?
It was a little more than 20 years ago, I want to say, and I believe it was Florida.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I think I heard Florida too.
Yeah, I think that's right.
It's interesting because I think in Canada there's a perception that concealed carry permits have been in the U.S. for quite a lot longer than 20 years.
There are states where Vermont or New Hampshire, I'm sorry, you never have needed one. There's no law against it.
I'm pretty sure it's Vermont.
Okay.
Yeah, you were, Vermont, you're right. Live free or die.
Yeah. And you never have needed one, and you don't need one now.
They still they have what they call constitutional carry, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are four states that have versions of that. But Alaska and Arizona are the closest to real permitless or constitutional carry.
Yeah, you'll learn about it in Mag 40. Mass will have probably a 20-minute lecture or so on the different definitions of constitutional carry and what it actually means and where it means it, right? Like you said, some states have a different version of constitutional carry than others.
Well, I hate to break this up, boys, but we've pulled out our 9 minutes. So, Trevor, to wrap us up here.
All right, we're done. Oh, I can do better than that.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Be gracious to our guest. Come on.
Thanks, Paul. shout-outs. Anybody got any shout-outs?
I do. I've got one to Paul Allman. Last week when I posted the show on Facebook, before I could even close the window, he had liked it.
Wow.
So first like, it was like he was sitting there waiting. When's it going to come? Hit his refresh button. When's it going to come? Hit his refresh button. Ooh, there it is. Like, he got it.
That internet rumor about him being really fast isn't just a rumor?
No, it's true.
Oh, well, really good for you, Paul.
Anyway, Paul, yeah, no, thanks for being eager. It tickled me, so I thought it was funny. I thought I'd mention it. So shout out to you, man.
Paul tickled Matthew. You heard it here first. All right. Well, let's go ahead and beg, plead, coax, guilt our listeners into joining one or both of Canada's National Firearms Associations. These are your versions of the NRA, and they need to be household names, and you need to be a member. If you own one gun or 1 million guns, you should join them because their only goal in life is to make your life as a firearms owner easier and better. They are the Canadian Shooting Sports Association and the National Firearms Association. They both have insurance programs. They both have ways for you to keep up and promote them. So get out there and join if you haven't, please. Also, Gun Owners of Canada, excellent Canadian gun forum for Canadians to discuss and ask questions and post pictures, and we're on there. So look for show updates on there once in a while. Like us on Facebook. Thanks to the boys at Talking Lead. We really, really, really blew the Polite Society podcast Facebook page out of the water. We like passed them by like 600,000, even though we only have 921 please. Likes. Go like us more so we can stay ahead of them.
Go like them so I don't have to hear that again.
All right. Be sure to check out all the other great shows on the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network, which features a dozen of Canadian-based outdoor podcasts, as well as the Crusader Podcast Network, which features a baker's dozens of great American and Canadian pro-gun podcasts. Tons of great material on each network. And we're one step closer to having a Canadian podcast network presence again. That will be the Canadian Firearms Podcast Network, and soon that'll be a home where you can find all of us in one location. With that being said, Paul, thank you once again for joining us finally. I know that you're a busy guy, and we asked you several times. You kept putting us off. Thank you for finally coming on and classying up the joint a little bit. We really appreciate it.
All I have left to say is
Don't say it. Don't you do it.
Too late.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.